Welcome to Just for the Health of It, where we bring you new perspectives on the science of health for all. We will bring you local, state, national, and global health news, as well as local guests for homegrown perspectives and connections to local resources. Here at Just for the Health of It, we bring you the best of both social justice and personal health. At Just for the Health of It, we focus on putting the just in Just for the Health of It. Our aim is to equip you to live healthily, in a healthy community, on a just planet. I am your host, Dan Rutt. I have a BS degree in biology and a master's degree in public health, specializing in nutrition. I have worked as a health educator, nutrition counselor, community health planner, and AIDS program director, not to mention dishwasher and busboy. I am a former president of the Ohio Public Health Association. This gig is one of several of my non-paying vocations, including lifelong social justice activist, political satirist, and poet. I am a longtime resident of the Old West End neighborhood in Toledo. Welcome to Just for the Health of It. Welcome to the inaugural show of Just for the Health of It. Normally, the planned format for this show is to do public health news and research roundup, provide useful health information for you and your loved ones, and interview a local guest to speak to critical public health issues in Toledo. The eventual format will be an hour long, but until we get the regular studio up and running, I will be doing a shorter half-hour version without the interview portion, and I'll be broadcasting from an undisclosed location, which is eerily similar to my den. Today we have a special coverage of the third annual Toledo Democracy Day public hearings. If you are wondering what public health has to do with democracy, stay tuned. Democracy Day was established through Citizens Initiative and approved by Toledo voters in 2016. It functions as an annual public hearing on the influence of money on our politicians that the mayor and city council must attend. All members of the public are encouraged to come and share their thoughts on the importance of democracy and the corrupting influence of large donors on the political process. By law, after each Democracy Day, the mayor must send a letter out to our congressional representatives urging them to support a constitutional amendment that says corporations are not people and political donations are not free speech. Enacting such a constitutional amendment is the primary purpose of Move to Amend, a national organization with chapters all across the United States. For more information, you can check out movetoamend.org. So, I went to city council chambers, or as I like to say, where democracy goes to die, and among other wonderful testimony, several citizens spoke to the need for a universal health program. This included myself, or at least I thought. I spent many hours in order to prepare 8 minutes of testimony, ending with a call for the passage of the Medicare for All Act of 2019. However, when I got to the public hearing, I found out that they were limiting testimony to 3 minutes. In previous years, they asked citizens to keep their testimony to about 5 minutes, and they loosely enforced this time frame. There was no way for me to cut my testimony in half on the spot, so I expressed my frustration about not being able or allowed to present my full testimony. I read most of the last paragraph with my call to action, to further express my deep disappointment with their bass-ackward and absurd limits when required by law to listen to citizens' testimony on substantive issues. I used the remaining minute of my time to read the last paragraph of my testimony backwards. Sometimes the only commensurate response to absurdity is absurdity. And sometimes Toledo just seems like a backwards town. As it happens, they ended a half hour ahead of time. Having ended with plenty of time remaining, I asked to present my full testimony. I was refused. I must admit I felt a little bit of democracy die within me. But I will just add it to my heap of progressive disillusionment. And if you're going to be disillusioned, please make it progressive. The good news is that democracy need not be limited to the wood-paneled coffin of democracy we call city council chambers, or limited to the marble lobbies of government center. There are other venues, and this is one of them. So, I will present my full testimony here today. Though make sure to stay tuned for the whole show, as at the end of the show, I will bestow the first Just for the Health of It award in honor of Toledo's Democracy Day. But back to my testimony. Here goes. Toledo's Democracy Day is rooted in a reality that in America, corporate personhood often trumps human personhood, and that profit is routinely treated as more important than human need or human rights. This battle courses through American life and our body politic. However, there is perhaps no other facet of American life where this battle is so palpable and endemic as healthcare. As the great doctor Martin Luther King Jr. diagnosed, of all the forms of inequality, injustice in healthcare is the most shocking and inhumane. Hi, my name is Dan Rutt. I have a master's degree in public health. I am the former health planner for the Toledo-Lucas County Health Department. I am a past president of the Ohio Public Health Association. However, perhaps my most important qualification for speaking today about healthcare is similar to most of the people in this room. I have witnessed personally multiple healthcare horror stories. Is there anyone that doesn't have a healthcare horror story? I've passed out in the so-called emergency room waiting for medical triage, slipping into anaphylactic shock, though they did have plenty of time to take my billing information. Three times I've gone to the same emergency room for severe reactions to bee stings. Each time I've been left alone, untreated, and unsupervised. Once in the waiting room, once in an exam room, once on a gurney in the hallway. To protect the guilty, I won't divulge the name, Saint something or other, probably other. The last time I was in there, I had used my expired EpiPen after refusing to refill my prescription after they jacked the price up to $600. I told the nurse that if I die, I want them to throw my dead body on the lawn of Mylan Pharmaceuticals corporate headquarters. I could go on, and I have, despite shocking and inhumane so-called healthcare. I've been blessed with a pretty healthy life, but I have a long litany of healthcare horror stories. I'll leave for another time the cautionary tale about getting a vasectomy from the lowest bidder when I had no health insurance. Today, about 30 million people in America still have no health insurance whatsoever. For Toledo, that's thousands and 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 thousands of Toledoans. About 45,000 Americans will die this year due to being uninsured. Some might even dare call it a national emergency. If you might consider that designation a close call, consider that even having health insurance in the U.S. is no guarantee of being able to pay for needed care. An additional 85 million Americans are underinsured, meaning that out-of-pocket costs of copays, deductibles, and coinsurance puts them at risk for financial catastrophe if they seek care. In short, more than 1 in 3 Americans have precarious protection against health crises, all topped off with looming financial ruin when they are at their most vulnerable. Healthcare is the leading cause of financial terrorism, the number one cause of personal bankruptcy, and the leading candidate for our nation's moral bankruptcy. We kowtow to healthcare syndicates as they hold unparalleled control over our community's finances and even our very lives. We are held hostage, and in a Kafkaesque fatal twist, we are expected to accept as normal community-wide Stockholm syndrome and irrational sympathy for our captors. Unfortunately, we don't get the benefit of universal healthcare of those residing in Stockholm. Healthcare in the U.S. is about $11,000 per capita, about twice as expensive per person as healthcare in other industrialized countries. Healthcare consumes about 18 of every $100 spent in America. This might be worth it if we were healthier. Instead, we are sicker and more likely to die. We chronically drag along the bottom of health outcomes among industrialized countries. If the business of healthcare is quality care at a reasonable cost, then American healthcare qualifies as a gargantuan business scam, sucking something on the order of $2 trillion of value out of our economy. That's 2,000 billions of dollars, year after year. That's billions of value sucked out of Toledoans, year after year after year. Would it be undemocratic to demand a better deal? Is the business of American healthcare a gigantic cash toilet too big to succeed at delivering quality healthcare at a reasonable cost? I hope not. We live in the wealthiest nation in human history, and we do a frighteningly poor job of producing health. Tragically, this is at an even more dumbfounding financial and human cost. I dare you to find a nation where they get less for their healthcare dollar than America. If we have any notion of running healthcare as a reputable business, then we should start firing the heads of those businesses, not rewarding them with huge profits and deferential prestige. If nothing else, at the prices we pay, we shouldn't have to fear sending our parents, grandparents, kids, or neighbors into a system that wreaks unnecessary stress when they are most vulnerable. Further, if you think that America's healthcare system is high quality, consider this. Healthcare kills more people than lack of health insurance. So-called medical errors kill about 250,000 Americans every year. Medical errors can be considered the third leading cause of death in America, exceeded only by heart disease as number one and cancer as number two. Our addiction to healthcare as a product to be marketed and sold rather than as a human right has locked us into a system of perverse incentives that distort the meeting of human need due to corporate greed. This has produced the worst of both worlds: overutilization of expensive and ineffective healthcare and underutilization of cost-effective care. This is all topped off with unparalleled administrative costs and corporate profits. There is a way out. A couple of weeks ago, U.S. Representatives Jayapal, Dingell, and over 100 co-sponsors introduced the Medicare for All Act of 2019. This act will improve and expand the overwhelmingly successful and popular Medicare program so that every person living in the United States has guaranteed access to health care with comprehensive benefits. Services covered include primary care, emergency care, mental health coverage, addiction treatment services, prescription drug coverage, medical devices, even dental and vision. With one standard of care covering essential services, no American need gamble their health with substandard insurance in order to eke out financial viability. This legislation embodies true community, where everybody is in, nobody is out. We need not leave anyone behind. Money saved with administrative streamlining will cover expanded care for over 100 million Americans with no insurance or substandard insurance. This Medicare for All Act will integrate the multitude of healthcare payment systems and simplify the current labyrinth of administrative requirements for both providers and patients. This will allow for a quantum leap in realigning financial stewardship with patient outcomes rather than mere profitability. Fortunately, the leap is not that far. About 75% of healthcare in America is already paid for by taxes, primarily for Medicaid, which, serving an elderly population, has the bulk of our nation's healthcare costs, and secondarily through Medicaid and military and veterans healthcare. Most simply, expanding Medicare for All will transfer the remaining 25% of private insurance-funded healthcare into the existing Medicare payroll tax. Premiums paid by individuals and businesses will disappear. The generations-long experiment with for-profit healthcare has failed. We can profit from the generations-long successes of other nations in assuring the health of their people. The time is now. I call upon Toledo City Council, the Lucas County Commissioners, each of our local healthcare conglomerates, and any other interested parties to join together in efforts to pass the Medicare for All Act of 2019 or similar legislation. I ask that each party provide the staff and resources necessary for such a collaboration to assure the urgent passage of such a national health program. To this end, I ask that ProMedica and Mercy Health devote 1,000th of their revenue for such a bold and transformative venture. My testimony today will be featured on my inaugural public health show on WAKT 106.1 FM, Toledo's activist, non-commercial community radio station, the latest in Toledo's burgeoning democracy. I will be monitoring and reporting on your efforts. May our community lead the way for a shared healthcare system that will benefit every community across our nation. If not us, who? If not now, when? Thank you. Now, that wasn't so bad, was it? Now, Just for the Health of It is about offering fresh perspectives and I'd like to highlight three fresh perspectives today. Number one, healthcare kills more people than having no health insurance. 250,000 deaths versus 45,000 deaths. As I like to say, a hospital is no place for a sick person. Now, of course, healthcare saves a lot of lives as well. Still, healthcare is an often dangerous undertaking for our lives and an overtaking for our money. Prevention not only saves us from disease, prevention saves us from healthcare. The good news is that while healthcare's medical errors can be considered a cause of death exceeded only by heart disease and cancer, if we look at other underlying causes of death, we find that there are lifestyle factors that are more important in preserving and promoting our health. For instance, smoking kills about 600,000 Americans each year, and diet kills even more Americans prematurely than smoking. Lifestyle factors such as these are more in our control and much less pricey than healthcare. Other key lifestyle factors include physical activity and adequate sleep. Good news for all. And now for a word from our lack of sponsors. PR ProMedica and Merciless Health are rated in the top 100 in clinical excellence in some category that hopefully covers the healthcare you might be able to access. Warning, such excellence may be severely limited by being delivered in the least effective and most expensive sick care system among the so-called advanced economies. While you may be privileged enough or lucky enough to get access to excellent care, your community overall is poorly served. Any such clinical excellence is best taken with a double dose of advocacy for universal healthcare. This program is not sponsored by PR Medica or Merciless Health. PR Medica and Merciless Health are unwholly owned subsidiaries of Tourette's Industries, ensuring that you will swear by them whether you like it or not. And now, back to your irregular programming. Welcome back to Just for the Health of It, the People's School of Public Health, where the people's health is not academic. You are listening to WAKT 106.1 FM Toledo, your source for local anti-commercial activist radio. The second fresh perspective I'd like to highlight today is regarding ideological battles over socialism and capitalism. Healthcare is not your typical product or service, which might be conducive to efficiencies of market competition. Just finding out what healthcare costs is nearly impossible. In many cases, often the most expensive cases, healthcare cannot even be planned for, even if we wanted to. Only the richest people can afford to pay for all of their healthcare out of pocket. The need to rely on health insurance because of the great variability and unpredictability of healthcare needs insulates us from the item-by-item expenses of healthcare. Plus, the complexity and technical nature of healthcare is so great that we typically must rely heavily on expert opinions of doctors and such. Healthcare is so expensive to deliver, and adding new services in the marketplace is so costly, that rather than lowering costs through competition, we often end up with duplicative services beyond the capacity needed. The total system costs rise, and prices ultimately rise even more. Outside of large metropolitan areas, it's hard to provide all the healthcare facilities and services that people need, let alone two to choose from. Everyone needs healthcare. Cut-rate healthcare is inhumane. Decent healthcare for all is something that we really need to work out collectively. Healthcare might better be viewed in the same way that we regulate public utilities. Public utilities are a fine example of socialism. Imagine two water lines coming into your home so you would have a choice of which service to use. Double the infrastructure, double the costs. The height of inefficiency. Imagine two sets of roads to compete, two separate trash services. You get the picture. Well, this is modern American healthcare, except that there is so much more money involved that many more careers and fortunes are made in gaming the system, jacking up the costs. In such cases, capitalism is costly to all, but a very few. Lastly, ideological battles over socialism and capitalism often revolve around the trope of taxes. Some people feel better about getting the bill from some corporation than the government. We pay twice as much for healthcare than in countries where healthcare is treated as a public good and regulated akin to a public utility. At about 18% of our economy, that's about 9% of our economy wasted on healthcare inefficiency and duplication. In essence, it's like already having a 9% tax on everything, except we are getting nothing for it. Actually, less than nothing, our health outcomes are worse than these other nations. This sounds eerily similar to the nightmare that tax hawks fear, with insinuations of government inefficiency, except that it is brought to us by healthcare capitalism. Healthcare capitalism is wreaking havoc on our economy and our people. Whatever difficulties a more socialist approach may bring, it is difficult to imagine making our current state of affairs in healthcare worse than having profit drive healthcare decisions. For the third fresh perspective I'd like to highlight today, I'm going to switch it up a bit, or back. I'm talking about the direct link between health and democracy. Why should public health and healthcare advocates talk about democracy? The clearest reason is that dead people don't vote. Well, except perhaps in Chicago. The reality is that inequalities and premature death directly affect elections. For example, the excess deaths that blacks suffer over whites results in over 1 million missing black votes nationwide. That's not voters, that's vote. It accounts for voting rates. If you include excess deaths of other people of color and poor whites, this results in 1 million more missing votes and voters. Clearly, this skews election results in favor of wealthier, healthier, and whiter populations, reinforcing existing inequalities. This dynamic reinforces health and wealth gaps across generations. For instance, whites can expect to draw on Social Security about 44% longer than blacks, simply by blacks dying off prematurely. Blacks contribute Social Security over the span of their whole working lives, but the Grim Reaper cut short their reaping a full span of benefits. While I love a good metaphor as much as the next person, we must realize that for tens of millions of Americans, democracy and justice means literally fighting for our lives. Health justice is directly tied to a healthy democracy that truly represents all of its people. Now that we've established the direct connection between public health and democracy, I'm offering a bonus testimony, a reprise from the first Toledo Democracy Day. My testimony in response to a 5-minute limit on citizen testimony entitled 5 Minutes of Democracy. Here it goes, just for the health of it. Greetings, rulers and subjects. The subject today is democracy. My name is Dan Rutt, though I am seriously considering selling my naming rights to either Jeep or ProMedica. Because seriously, who is Dan Rutt? And unfortunately, a shadowy group of local lobbyists secured the rights to Krogering, so expect plenty more Krogering, but not from me. Of course, plenty of naming rights are still in play. In deference to those from that progressive demographic who love hyphenated names, I might prefer selling my naming rights to Davis Bessie. Plus, I could get a bonus for catering to the regional governance and nuclear family demographics. But alas, Davis Bessie may very well be decommissioned. Apparently that whole too cheap to meter thing turned out to be a lie after all these decades. And in this era of tight budgets, there is only enough political capital to afford one last $1 billion bailout to bury this mistake. But sleep tight, fellow citizens and hopeless ratepayers. Rest assured that there will be a special glow for you and a thousand generations from the heart of this beloved nuclear reactor. But I digress. Keep your eye on, well, pretty much anything else. Welcome to Democracy Day, presided over by the finest government money can buy. Of course, our fine government might be different than those other governments. Today, I'm asking that we keep an open mind that our government might not actually be the best that money can buy. So what does democracy look like? I have a long view of democracy that looks something like making decisions based on how it affects people 7 generations from now. That noble concept brought to us by fine native peoples who we so conveniently committed genocide against to occupy this land. But I have been charged to ask, what does 5 minutes of democracy look like? This brief view is something more of a commercial, so if any of you need to go to the bathroom or need a snack, now would be a good time for that. Besides dreaming of bigger cages and longer chains, I have 3 proposals. Proposal 1, I am asking City Council to commission a study to determine how much money it would take to get money out of politics. Might I suggest a consultant that is not too cheap, so as to appear unworthy of listening to, or a consultant that is too pricey so as to appear extravagant. What do we want? Another study. When do we want it? When we can afford it. Frankly, I'm much more interested in stuff we can't afford not to do. My second proposal is to establish a democracy museum to preserve whatever vestiges of democracy that remain. This could be a public-private partnership that would reflect the share of democracy that is controlled by the public and private sectors, say 10% public and 90% private. To honor the vital 10% of democracy that is publicly controlled, we could have that reflected in the naming rights, which of course are necessary to fund such ventures. For instance, we would not have the 5th-3rd Democracy Museum, but rather the 4.5-3rd Democracy Museum to preserve that sacred public trust. This Democracy Museum could offer many opportunities to safeguard our notion of democracy. For instance, we could preserve uncounted provisional ballots for the posterity that they are worth. We could display the many rubber stamps used to approve the corporatist agenda. Being the glass city, I'd suggest another glass museum. But while we may be able to afford to do the same thing over and over again, I suspect that democracy might not be able to afford the transparency of a glass museum. Either way, we should have lots of windows to accommodate all of those beloved window dressings of which our politicians are so fond. Well, you get the picture. Well, okay, in museums you can't get the actual picture, but I trust that there will be a reasonable facsimile available for sale in the gift shop. And remember, there are only 365 shopping days until next Democracy Day. But be patient, very patient, in this sick political system. Oh, victims of oligarchy, be patient. I have come to save the day. Oh, victims of corporatocracy, be patient. I have come to save the day. Oh, victims of plutocracy, be patient. I have come to save the day. Oh, victims of kleptocracy, be patient. I have come to save the day. I have come to save the day. I have come to save the day. By saving this day, Democracy Day, each day for 365 years, we will have saved up enough democracy for a democracy year. So, based on these patient patience of a sick political system, I offer my third proposal. I ask City Council to declare the year 2382, 365 years from now, as Democracy Year. Surely such completely incredible long-term vision will not go unrewarded. But alas, if there are any spare seconds from my 5 minutes of democracy, I could ask for a moment of silence, remembering that we have the right to be silent. But while we have the right to remain silent, I wouldn't recommend it. So, in that meantime, while we wait for our rulers to rule well, let us never forget, we are what democracy looks like, an assembly of real people, not corporate persons. Power to the people. Power to real people. Thank you. And now, what you've been waiting for. To end the show, a WAKT first, the Just for the Health of It 2019 Toledo Democracy Day Award. By the powers infested by me, I do hereby confer upon Toledo City Councilperson Nick Comives the 2019 Toledo Democracy Day Award for the most constipated view of democracy. After being confronted with over 3 hours of democracy during the 2018 Democracy Day, Mr. Comives, with heroic efficiency, scheduled only 2 hours for the 2019 Democracy Day, and ingeniously combining this with a 3-minute limit on public testimony, succeeded in City Council only having to listen to 90 minutes of citizen testimony, thus empowering Toledo citizens to truly declare Democracy Day, now with 50% less democracy. Should Mr. Comives, in all humility, consider that he doesn't deserve this award, then may he share this with all others who have made democracy passable in Toledo. In any case, may Mr. Comives find within him the moral fiber to relieve himself of this distinction. I will deliver a framed copy of this award to Mr. Comives. Lastly, in regard to Toledo City Councilperson Nick Comives' expert shepherding of our citizenry, on behalf of all us sheep scattered across Toledo, I just want to say, bad democracy, bad democracy. If you have feedback or ideas for the show, please feel free to email me at wakt@toppun.com. That's wakt@toppun.com. Thank you for spending this hour with me, my second most favorite hour of the week. I'll be signing off now from the Donald Trump Memorial Studio, and I'll be ending with a quote from the great Mahatma Gandhi. When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they can seem invincible. But in the end, they always fall. Always. And let's take it home with Emma's Revolution. I need some justice.